Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have back with us a guy who hasn't been here for probably at least a year or so. His name is Chuck Haynes. He's the director of York County's Emergency Management. And I tell you what, if you don't think that this is a valuable service, you need to listen very closely, because many of us have lived here long enough to see emergency management in full force. And when something disastrous happens, boom, they're the coordinator. They get all this stuff done. And, of course, I'm thinking back a long time ago to Hurricane Hugo. My God, was that something?
Changed everything.
So before we get into that, tell everybody a little bit about Chuck.
Sure. Thank you for having me again. And so my name is Chuck Haynes, and I came to Rock Hill, to Winthrop University, in 1996. That's where I first entered the Rock Hill world and York County world. And came right here at Substation 2 while I was here, and graduated from there, and went to work for the City of Rock Hill Fire Department. And I had a wonderful time there, worked for the city for several years, and ended up going to work at the State Emergency Management Division for South Carolina, and still worked in this area. Had seven counties that I was a regional emergency manager, and took a job over in Pickens County, and as a director over there, and was there 4 or 5 years. And then Mr. Cotton Howell decided to retire, and I was eating breakfast, and my wife handed me the job advertisement for for this job, and I took it as a hint. I'm not good at hints, but I took that one as a hint.
Yes,
she
honey.
Wanted to come home.
Yes, honey. I got the message, honey.
So, of course, I applied, and thank goodness I was allowed to come back. And so I've been here working for York County a little over 11 years, and truly a blessing to be here. My wife and two kids live up in Fort Mill. Very involved with the community. My wife's been in education for many years, and just a wonderful place to be. Being here since the mid to late 90s, you know, of course, I've got to see a lot of growth and a lot of change, and a lot of new neighbors, and we appreciate that.
Mm. So if you had to describe in a few sentences exactly what emergency management is all about, what would you say?
That is a question that kind of moves depending on whatever the flavor of the day is. But I like to tell people that we're that insurance policy that kind of is in your glove compartment that you really don't think about. But, you know, it's nice to have if something happens. But in the same sense, you know, that insurance company works behind the scenes to make sure they're protecting you. And so our goal is to kind of make things better. And I don't say that saying things are bad, but our goal is not to be on the front page of the newspaper. But should something happen, we try to keep incidents small. And we don't want to be on the front page of the newspaper. So whenever something happens, or there's some type of natural disaster, widespread issue that's maybe a little more complex than normal day-to-day, we like to have plans and the coordination piece already together, the partnerships, maybe the resources to bring together to solve whatever problem there is.
I kind of look at it as... In many ways, when something big happens, you're kind of like the quarterback.
We are.
You've got all the players, all the fire departments, police departments, anything that come under your umbrella. And as a quarterback, you are saying, let's do this play, let's do that play, let's do this play, that play. Is that about
sure.
right?
It is. And it's the best thing, you know, we all love technology, but it's back, you know, years, many years ago, you had to call people into the EOC to all sit around to work together in collaboration to solve complex problems. Well, now with technology, we can do that. Just, you know, I can send a text or back and forth, or we could, you know, have a virtual EOC to work at our own offices around where everyone is. Never come face-to-face physically, but we can solve the same amount of problems. So we have a lot of technology and software that helps us with that. And so there was a time, and I'm not kidding, where we would, you know, maybe the plan was to send the deputy to knock on your door to bring you to the EOC so we could sit down to talk about whatever's happening. Well, now, of course, you know, we can send text messages and ring your phone and do all kind of things. But, you know, we're 24/7, 365. We have a great staff, about 7 people, tons of partners that we work with, nonprofits. I mean, you name it. Everyone in some form touches emergency management in some way.
Even the media.
Of course, that's a huge partner. We have to be able to communicate with the public, and not only us sending our message, but feedback. When there's problems, we can't be everywhere at one time. So
sure.
That two-way kind of feedback loop is what we focus on. Solving people's problems. Sometimes we have an answer to absolutely fix their problem. Sometimes we don't have the perfect solution, and we have to bring in partners to help with that. And, you know, there's tons of people in this community and elsewhere, of course, that they volunteer their time, they donate their money to make sure other people have help.
We have emergency management offices in all the counties?
Yes, it's required by state law to have an emergency management director and emergency management office in all 46 counties.
All right, so we got two big issues right now.
Oh, God.
You can pick which one you want to start with. One begins with an H and the other begins with a D.
Oh, gosh.
One's hurricane and the other's drought.
Okay.
So let's take the hurricane.
All right, hurricane.
And if you're new to South Carolina, you should know that we are susceptible to hurricanes.
We are.
We had one here back in 1989 that just tore this whole town apart. It was an amazing meteorological event.
It is.
Never should
have
happened, but it did happen.
Sure.
But so we are, I mean, we're not on the coast, but we are in a coastal state.
Sure.
So what are we doing right now when you talk about the word hurricane?
Yep. So right now what we're kind of doing behind the scenes is kind of watching all the many people who are much smarter than me and have really, really smart machines. And they put out kind of forecasts, and you may have seen some information in the news about El Nino and La Nina and stuff. Well, so there's a forecast. It's strong El Nino. And so this hurricane season that could impact, if it comes together, that could impact what we may see here. But the problem with that statement is it only takes one hurricane to kind of ruin your day. So it doesn't matter how many is predicted or how many forms. What matters is what hits your home. And so with Helene, you know, it only took that hurricane jogging just a little to the east to really change our forecast and really cause some trouble for us. And thank goodness, it didn't come any further east, but you know, just go over one county to the west, Cherokee County, Union County, you know, they were out of power for several days, and of course we were out of power too, but it had much more devastating event. And then further west than that, it was catastrophic. Uh-huh. Right. And so when you think about that and how far inland those mountains were during Helene, and then how far inland we were during Hugo, you know, those storms are so wide and can bring so much rain that it can really take a inland area like York County and turn it into a tropical area very quickly.
Mm. Okay, so right now it's just watching,
right,
seeing what might evolve. But don't think for a minute that it couldn't evolve, because
of course.
The other H word that I left out of the formula was something near and dear to a lot of our hearts here a couple of years ago: hail.
Oh yeah!
My God, that hailstorm came
macroburst.
Woo! And it, I've told the story. That car out there that I drive,
sure,
there's about $20,000 of damage to car.
Yeah.
About $60,000 to my house.
Sure.
And I'm just one of thousands.
Right.
They got clobbered by that hailstorm.
Sure.
So, you watch that too?
So that was a incredibly unique event. Probably percentage wise, maybe on the Hurricane Hugo, we had scientists from Midwest come here to study that storm. One of the challenges we have with that, speaking of the hail damage, in the emergency management world, there is no real solution for hail damage. Vehicle with broken windows and that sort of thing, homes with siding, if they're uninsured or underinsured, roof and siding damage. We have to rely on nonprofit partners to help with that. So
sure.
FEMA, they look at a home, basically safe and sanitary is the standard. So, if your home doesn't have a piece of siding on it, FEMA doesn't care. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but it's safe and it's sanitary for you to be in there. So they're not going to provide federal assistance. And so we had a lot of people that really had a challenge. They didn't have the means to, fix their car windows, but that was also the way they needed to go to work. And so,
sure.
Or they didn't have money for a roof or what have you. York County, the city of Rock Hill, state of South Carolina, FEMA, the Small Business Administration, all came in. We worked many, many cases. I don't have the numbers on top of my head, but really thousands of people were helped through nonprofits. And we had a, from a nonprofit response, we had a national event right here just with that hailstorm.
Sure. And I tell you what, I think it once again showcased the community that we live in. We had so many people who just jumped in there, contractors, individuals,
sure,
to put roofs back on people's houses, to get trees out of the front yard. I mean, it was really quite something to see.
The interesting thing, and I know you're going to agree, there were people on, if you weren't in that storm, a lot of people didn't know it happened.
That's right.
It was either it was sunshine in a lot of places where it was hailing.
Yeah.
Or close by.
Made no sense. Okay. Here we are. The other word that I was going to bring up was drought.
Okay.
We're in it big time. And you told me before we went on the air, I want you to repeat what you told me on
the
air. Listen to this.
So you can look it up. Drought.gov is a very handy website, but in 132 years, this is the driest beginning of a calendar year on record.
Here in York County.
Here in York County.
Whew. Oh my gosh! All right. So, what we've heard in rough numbers is by this time of the year, we would expect, I don't know, it's 20 inches of rain or something like that.
Right. I think like 10 to 16 is what we're lacking right now.
Yeah. We've gotten less than half of what we should be
that's
getting.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So we've seen already a lot of the municipalities. Well, let's go back with the drought. What do you call it? There's a drought basin management group. I've forgotten what the name
there's
of it
many,
is.
Yeah, right. There's many of them that advises on. Yeah.
And they've already put out the warning that we are in this thing,
right,
and we need you to start cutting back,
Correct.
We've seen that happen in Fort Mill. We've seen it happen in Rock Hill.
Right.
It's all voluntary right now.
Correct.
And this conversation is not limited just to people who are on city water.
Right.
It also includes people like myself who are using wells, because
sure,
it's all connected.
It is.
All connected. So everybody needs to be watching how they're using the water. don't be doing a lot of car washing at the house.
Right.
All that. You go ahead. You know this.
You're exactly right. So even energy conservation helps with water conservation. But the car washes, watering grass. We were talking, several years back, everyone had to let the grass just die. And so everyone's yard was just brown. I'm not saying we're to that point yet, but, it could be coming. We need several days of good soaking rain and, several events of good soaking rain to get us out of this drought. The experts say it takes a long time to get into a drought. It also takes a long time to get out of a drought. And so the Catawba River Basin, it's in a little worse shape than the Broad. So the Broad River is doing a little bit better, a little more rainfall up north that's come down. Also, less people in this area needing water from the Broad. The Catawba, obviously, with Lake Wylie and, the Catawba River, there's a whole bunch of people that rely on the Catawba Basin for water.
Just like that suburb to the north.
that little suburb. That's right. A lot of people depend on that, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a problem, and the problem, as you say, it takes a long time to get into it and a long time to get out of it. We've been through this before.
Sure.
I always go back to what it was 15 years ago, I think, when we had a major drought.
Right.
And I never thought in my wildest imagination I would see Lake Wylie shrink by at least a third.
Yep.
People who lived along the lake could walk down. Their boats were up on lifts because they couldn't put them in the water. You could literally get down there and walk out, 100 yards, 200 yards, something like that.
Right.
It's amazing.
I hope we don't see that again. We managed to get through that, and we'll manage to get through, if it happens again.
Okay. We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Here at Substation 2, we know what it's all about. Fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and you eating those cookies can join in. At the count of three, we're going to tell everybody what the heck's going on. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Too many cookies over there. You got to be clear for the next round. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Chuck Haynes, Director of York County Emergency Management, is with us. We forgot when we talked about drought to talk about the fact there's some loans out there.
Yes,
for farmers. Tell me about those.
Well, for small business, farmers included. Yep. So for ag, through the USDA, there's loans that low interest loans, interest deferred for first 12 months. And for economic injury for that. And then small business, same thing. Outside of the ag world, any small business that can show that they had damages, not physical damage, but economic damage resulting from the drought, they can apply. Loans, up to 30 years, first year interest deferred, no payment for 12 months. There is a qualification process, so this is through the Small Business Administration, SBA, and then the other is through the USDA.
Okay. So you just need to scour around and find out what's out there. I got you.
Correct.
All right. Now, one of the things that I wanted to chat with you in general terms, we've had a lot of conversation in this community for, 6 months, 8 months, about hazardous materials.
Okay.
Which is something you work with a lot of businesses around here. But generally speaking, there are a number of businesses throughout York County that deal with what you would call hazardous materials, correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
We have hundreds of, people who use chemicals, whether it's diesel fuel storage or batteries or, pick your flavor of chemicals, but they do have to report to us in the fire department what they have stored and the quantity use and things like that. And then we also meet with them. We do site visits. We build a partnership with them to kind of hope for open communication if there's ever any issues. They participate, many participate in what's called a local emergency planning committee, LEPC, which is required by federal regulation. And we meet quarterly. We talk about best practices, concerns, and that sort of thing. But all these companies, and truly there's hundreds, they use chemicals to make our lives better in some form or fashion. And whether it's treating water or, making some type of plastic product, pick whatever, industry or type of use for the chemicals. For some reason, they use it to produce some kind of product that's eventually going to help us.
I remember the DuPont Company years and years ago used to have a slug line, Better Things for Better Living Through Chemistry.
That's true.
Right. And we have, as you point out, you say hundreds. I don't know what there's names that you would immediately recognize probably in the county.
Sure.
That are using one type of hazardous material or another. But they've got plans for how those are being. So how is this triggered? Do they call you, or do you find out about them through the planning department and you say, I'll go see them?
Well, sometimes it works a little both ways. But a lot of times they have to submit that they're going to have, certain types of products. And then once we get that report from them, we'll reach out and send, do a site visit. These are highly, professional people. Chemists on staff, they get, they're under regulation and scrutiny, just like any industry, and they work with the fire department, they work with us, and a lot of do drills and exercises for all sorts of things, and day in and day out, largely, they go unnoticed. They really now, there are plans in place and communications lines and, you know, things they have to report to us, and, you know, if something should happen. But we have tons of responders with hazardous materials trainings. We have equipment. We have plans. We have capability that we're very proud of. Now, of course, can we be better? Sure. Can we? Do we need to build into the future and get better at things? Of course. And so we're not, you know, we're good at what we do, and we're proud of what we do, but we also are still trying to learn and grow. And I mean, every year we do thousands of hours of training, and whether they're career staff or volunteer staff, they all go through certain amounts of hazardous materials training.
So the bottom line is, we live in a world where we expect to have certain products,
sure,
certain consumables, whatever, and those things are provided to us by companies that use hazardous materials in a very professional way that is guided by all kinds of rules and regulations,
right,
that involve not only what they do internally, but you externally to make sure that they are being done.
Sure.
And you've got state and federal regulatory people looking over their shoulders. And the bottom line, it works. Bottom line,
sure,
it works. So
it there's right now under our feet, over our head, all around us, there's chemicals, and as a lot of effort goes in from everyone, and we, you know, the community plays an important role, and I think everyone understands. When we get reports, or they, someone reports a smell or reports something to either us or the state or federal government, that's very, very important, because sometimes there may be something nefarious going on, or it could be something that no one knows about, yeah, and they're calling attention to it, and
that's,
we,
right,
appreciate that.
Yeah. You can have all the plans in place, but sure, you never know what's going to happen.
Sure.
And I guess it's fair to say, as the county continues to evolve and grow, we can expect there's going to be more and more of this. Because, I mean, we've got a big effort underway here in your county, in Rock Hill, to try to have a generational change type of project out there at the the Palmetto Progress
right,
Research Park.
Sure.
And if that happens, that's going to bring a whole new element of stuff that we've never been exposed to before.
Yeah. Well, we can accept the change and learn and grow and be a better community because of it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Chuck. So right now we're not worried about the hurricanes,
because
the maps look pretty good so far. All the prognosticators will say, well, we're going to have 10 this year or 12 this year or 4 this year or whatever.
And don't listen to them.
It only
takes one.
Yeah. You have a better chance of rolling those dice.
Could be, yeah.
Than you do predicting what the hurricanes
but
are.
But now is the perfect time to talk to an insurance company to make sure that you're insured properly.
Boy, you have hit the nail on the head there. Do not assume that you've got the right kind of coverage for Mother Nature. Sit down with your agent. Say, here's where I am. I know where I am. In a coastal state,
sure,
make sure I'm right. Yeah.
And property values increase.
Uh-huh.
And if your policy doesn't, that's a problem.
Exactly. Your house that was worth $200,000 five, six, 7 years ago is probably worth $400,000 now.
Yep.
Better make sure you have the right coverage. Chuck, thank you for everything that you do. Appreciate
you
being here with us. Chuck Haynes, the director of the York County Emergency Management. And thank you to all the men and ladies that make that thing work.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Your with Founders, and by Anderson Briggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonBriggs.com. All right, one more time. The cookie eaters have left. Well, sorry, we can do it without them. We do fresh subs and salads. We do it right here at Substation 2. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. Now with us today, without a bag of potato chips in his mouth, is a good doctor. Oh, he's got it. He's got it right there. At the count of three, let's tell everybody what the formula is. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have yourself a wonderful day. See you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.